All right. Well, we're glad to have everybody here this morning. There we go. Let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song or two. Well, if you wouldn't mind, brother, would you lead us, please?
Yeah, Father, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for helping us get through the holidays, Lord. And brief those who are going through the holidays with the world, Lord, even those who can't afford fruit or water or whatever, Lord, brief them also, giving them daily needs, Lord, we especially think of Africa, Lord, help those poor souls, Lord, and save their souls, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the Heavenly Father for sending your Son into earth right about this time, Lord, and thank you for sending him to save us from our sins, Lord. We made that decision to come onto the cross, Lord, and to kneel down and to send Jesus Christ as a Savior. Save the people for this land, especially in the city, Lord. Brief the people out that drug and alcohol abuse, Lord, suicide of thoughts, Lord, throughout this land, Lord, and throughout the city, Lord, suffering from suicide, Lord, on drinking or alcohol, drug abuse, Lord, help them and provide for them and show them that there's a better way for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brief the churches throughout this land, Lord, brief them as they go about to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and crucified, Lord, use it to convict those that are lost, Lord, and save souls mightily by the power of the blood of the cross, Lord. And Lord, brief with the churches and our fellow churches, we have Stan, Colin, and his congregation up in Bangor, Lord, bless them and keep, Lord, pray for them at this time as they come to open the books, Lord, and to preach out the Bible, Lord. And pray for the missionaries, Lord, we support, Lord, pray for the Cosgrave, the Collins, the Haynes, Askus, the Bissets, the Sealys, Lord, and pray for also, Amy and the Morales, Lord, live there behind bars, Lord, pray for the Christian Institute, the Kisper Schools, East International Open Doors, Lord, pray for them also, Lord, pray for us this time, Lord, pray for, thank you for helping us to get Brexit, Lord, give us more wisdom as we go through Brexit, Lord, and especially, Lord, as we go through this COVID-19 crisis, Lord, help those that have got, Lord, and heal them, Lord, shake those up that are lost, Lord, that they need God and they need Jesus Christ in their lives, Lord, save us this day, Lord. Provide for us, Jesus Christ,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Will. All right. If you'd like to take the little black books, by the sounds of things, or the looks of things, we're going to be in there a lot today. I believe it's number 11, isn't it, that we're starting with? Hymn number 11 in the little black books. Mortal, invisible, God only wise. That's the right one, Will, isn't it?
It's 11.
You picked 11. And it was somebody picked 11.
I'm glad somebody picked 11, because otherwise it would have been me that picked 11.
Invisible, God only wise in life.
Amen. Number 13 in the little black books, again, if you don't mind. Hymn number 13 is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
That should get your vocal cords well warmed up. Amen. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing.
Seated, thank you very much. Norman, are you okay to read this morning? Good man, then. If you would like to come ahead, that would be great.
Thank you, brother.
Morning's reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 15. Ticket was picked by Steve.
Yes.
Yes, and that ticket's it's a very long one, so wouldn't be him.
33 verses. Do you want to split it into two halves and read them both?
We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let everyone of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, and reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister, the circumcision, the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this case I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he says, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Amen. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that we may bind in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to abolish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written, and more boldly unto you, in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, and to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around from Ilium I have full preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as is written, to whom he has not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in the journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go on to Jerusalem, and to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which are in Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for in the Gentiles they have been made partakers of these spiritual things. Their duty also to minister unto them in carnal things. And therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Norman. Thank you, Steve. I think Steve maybe gets a bit of a kick out of throwing Norman the odd curveball there with the reading, but we appreciate the picks, and we appreciate the reading of them. So thank you very much indeed. It's good to see all of you here. I pray you've had a good Christmas Day and Boxing Day, and look forward to enjoying the rest of your Christmas holidays, or indeed working over them as the needs must. I've already speaking to Frank Did you end up doing work over Christmas?
Too hard.
Very good. And that was last week, and spoke to young Mark, Marky, Colin, and Jake. What's Jake's surname? Do you know? Jake. And I think they have like two or three projects a piece to get ready before January kicks off. So I guess it's not all that great about being at home whenever you're supposed to be in the school. But amen. It's good to see you here. I have some not so serious things to bring to you. There's one of them there. So if all else fails and you forget all the songs, all the announcements, and the whole message, at least you will remember. Yes, what?
The Enlightenment.
There you go. That's what it's all about. At least you will remember the pastor had a flashing LED tie. It's red. It's a red light. Purple. Anyway, purple is not mauve. Just remember that. Or lilac. So I played sometimes the kids used to take great joy in hiding behind the doors whenever Monica was at the kids club, and then jumping out and eliciting a scream from her. And looks like Frank might even have been one of them. But for this morning, for a bit of a prank, I switched all the lights off in the living room and starting and picking up there. And I put the tie on, and she started laughing as soon as I come in, and I said, I was just going to jump out and scare you. But anyway, please do remember, on a slightly more serious note, to lift one of the wee red prayer lists, and even just once this week, for all the folks, even that's for you guys that are all here today, there's 8 of us, that means we would get prayed for 1.16 times this week. Just for the folks in the church, and if Esther's praying for us, and Pat and Steve's praying for us, and John's praying for us, that'd be nearly twice every day this week. Your name would be called out to God. So please do remember those things. Please do continue to pray for Steve and for Esther, that their health will improve to such a point that they're able to join us again. And we do miss John and Carol and Stephen of a morning as well. So please do pray for them. Don't forget also all of our neighbours that have been a great help to me and to the church over the past, year. And to you as well. I want to thank you that I am even able to take a little bit of joy. It might seem funny, but I was saying to Monica, Monica, look, I can do that now. I couldn't even do that about 3 weeks ago. Thanks again very much indeed to Dr. Yang and Dr. Shang and Norman and his TENS machine. But it's been an interesting year. Looking forward to a better one. And I pray that you all have a restful time. We're glad still to have Taylor with us, even though honestly you do look a little bit jet-lagged or tired this morning, but if you were driving home from Stans, being at Stans would be tiring, but being at Stans and then driving home from Stans, that's bound to take it out of you. I do remember that we laughed at Stans' two young fellas landing up here before you. I said, what are you doing? And we're trying to figure out, but got the gist of it in the end. Stan, in his formative days, he and a friend used to drive. I think there was one run down to Dublin for a burger or fish and chips or something like that. That's just young people doing crazy things. I never did that. Well, not that crazy things, but it is Christmas. Have wheels, we'll travel, and why not? We're glad to have everybody here. Please do pray for Stan and the folks up in Bangor as well. Christy was doing sort of like Santa's little helper and delivering cards and whatnot from Stan and the folks up in Bangor. We appreciate that. But it's good to see you here. I pray you have a few more days of R&R before the world imposes its will again. Just be much in prayer. There will be some that... for whom this will be, Christmas is a difficult time, having lost loved ones, so please do continue to pray for them as well. and pray for everything. But see, it's easy for me because I get to see you all in your seats, and that's how I pray for you. I just close my eyes, and I'm so used to seeing you that I even see you with my eyes closed. That's not a psychological problem that I have. It's just one of the benefits of being up in the pulpit. And that's how I pray for everybody in the church. I go down one row and up the other. I just chop and change it a bit. But please do pray for each other. Just pray for each other. I think that's really about that. Christy, I'm going to ask you to pray. So if you... Yeah, hold on 1 second.
Tonight and Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Everybody get that? Service is tonight at 6, service at Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock as well. So that nobody in government ends up with their underwear all tangled up. All right, you pray for us, Christy, if you would.
I pray for this day, Lord, the reason for this season, Lord, thank you for salvation, for sending your son. We thank you, Lord, that we have freedom and, Lord, the ability to be in your house this morning. We ask and pray, Lord, that you send spiritual blessings upon us, Lord. We pray for the preacher, especially as he stands to proclaim your word, Lord, and pray for Holy Ghost wisdom and power and boldness, Lord, just for clearing of the decks of his mind, but of all but what needs to be said, Lord, and what you need him to say, and Lord, that you would speak through him, we pray. Open hearts and minds here amongst us, meet needs, we pray. Lord, be with those that couldn't be here, especially those that are sick, Lord, and Lord, are even on their own at this time, fighting silent battles. Lord, that you would just draw near to them, Lord, and hold them tight. Lord, a touch of healing, we pray for those that are sick as well. Remember Shannon McKeown, Lord, for Dennis Johnson. Lord, for Pat and Roger Hayne at this time as well, with COVID there as well. The Freed family too, Lord. Watch over the Hoyt family at this time as well, Lord, please. Lord, be with us in the service, Lord. Watch over our missionaries. Provide for them. Help our country's leaders. Give wisdom there, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Christy. Right, let's take our little black hymn books again. Oh, we already sang that one. Did somebody pick 36 or was that just 38? There it is there. Hymn number 38. Who is he in yonder stall in the black books?
Crying, crying.
We'll sing. How many have we sung? That's just three this morning. Right, we'll sing another one. If you haven't closed your little black books, we're at 39. Good Christian Men Rejoice. And we'll stand to sing this. Hymn number 39. Thank you very much. And if you would like to join me in the book of Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 6, we're going to take our Bible reading from there, beginning at verse number 5. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse number 5. You know what, we'll just start at the beginning of Matthew chapter 6. There's only a few verses in front of it. And they're all the quoted words of the Lord himself. So we're going to read the first 15 verses of Matthew chapter 6. The title for the message this morning is Every Day. Every Day. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, for ever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. Verse number 11 is to be our particular text this morning. And I want to speak on the subject of every day. Every day. Let's pray and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity to meet together in your house around your word to lift up praises and prayers. And I pray you, Lord, please, for the prayers that Will has lifted up and Christy, I pray that you would grant them, please, according to your will, and as well as that, those of us that have private prayer requests, Lord, I pray you, please, that you would grant them according to your will. Lord, wherever someone is preparing, putting notes on paper, just praying about the message that needs to be brought this morning, I pray that you would bless and provision. Lord, that you would bring the scriptures to memory, that you would put the words in their mouths, mine too, and help, Lord, your children everywhere to be refreshed and recharged and redirected, Lord, and repurposed, Lord, just that your will would be done. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings right up until now, and the many that you have in store for us. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for your Son, and Lord, for your word, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and for the invitation to come into your presence at any time. We love you and praise you, and we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well-known portion of God's word. In fact, I think most little children are taught what they call the Lord's Prayer, or what I would rather call the model prayer, before many times they can even read. And so they're saying, Our Father which art in heaven. I remember listening to my mom and dad as we prayed beside the bed. They did their very best to get me started off on the right foot, but I was always a bit of a rebel. And took me many a year to come to the foot of the cross. But I just want to give you a few thoughts from this, and then to think upon verse 11, where the Lord instructs us as part of our prayers to ask for the things that we need each day. As we begin this, the Lord says, do you know what? There's two lots of people in the world. He says there's believers and there's unbelievers, and that's it. It's not black or white, it's not English speaking or Chinese speaking or French speaking or German speaking. It's just saved and lost in God's eyes. And we're all sinners. We're just saved sinners or lost sinners. The only difference being that a saved sinner has the option to not sin, whereas the lost person most times has no conviction. Well, you know what I mean. They have no conviction of sin, or as they go about their business. Anyway, the Lord gives us this instruction and this information, and he also tells us that repeating the same thing over and over and over again is only any good in computing circles. In fact, that's what computers are designed to do and what they're for, to do the same laborious data shifting tasks over and over and over again with 100% accuracy. Well, at least here in Britain and America, the computers are not so accurate. I think they're 68% inaccurate at the moment, especially when it comes to counting votes. So we're not worrying about that. God says repetitive prayers don't mean anything. Many times that you will have sat in a church and they'll say, someone will start saying, Our Father. I can guarantee you that most people in the church can say that without thinking on a single word, and the mums can be thinking about their children, what's in the oven for dinner, what they're going to cook, Dads can be thinking about the grass they're going to cut after church and maybe washing the car, and did they get that polish on so the car looks to be the shiniest in the car park? It doesn't cost a thought. It's not a real conversation. It's like speaking to somebody on the phone and just saying, Are you thinking about something else? I don't know if any of you have ever seen Arnold Schwarzenegger's The Last Action Hero. I'm not advertising for it. Very funny show. Some very pointed statements in it, but he got a phone call from his wife, and as he's saying, he's pulling this tape recorder out of the drawer and he presses play, and it starts going, yes, of course, and he puts the phone in the tape recorder and he goes and does something else. That is quite literally what most of the world is doing as they repeat the same old prayers that they have been taught from before they could read, by their mothers and fathers, and most times in churches and Sunday schools. You have to be taught to pray, but you have to be instructed that you need to pray, but you don't say the same things over and over and over again, thinking that you're going to wear God down. That's not the way it works. He says, this is the way it's supposed to go. First of all, you're talking to God. It's not your mate that owes you a tenner or 20 quid. It's God Almighty, to whom, if you're saved, you owe your very soul. You owe your life, and you owe your home in heaven, most importantly, to. So, our Father who art in heaven, remember that and be respectful. It goes on to say that we are to pray for his return. Oh, I switched my... This is going to be a point of interest today. You're in trouble for this when we get home. It goes on to say that as Christians, we are supposed to pray for the Lord's soon return. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And it's going to be difficult as you do God's will on earth, but everybody else just does whatever comes into their heads. So, do you know what? It started out as a good idea, but we're not going to do that. We're supposed to pray for God's will to be done on earth. And I was just reading, we're going to come back to verse 11. A lot of people say that God will forgive you if you forgive other people, and that's not what the Bible says at all. It says, you will be able to forgive other people if you have been forgiven by God. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A lot of people think, if I do this, God is going to do that. That's not the case. Most times it's God has already done a great deed for us that enables us to overcome little slights, little insults, things that people may have done to us or on us, sometimes even accidentally, without even thinking. We will be able to get over that because, let's be honest, how many times have we broken God's laws? Every day. Every day we break many of the laws that are in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And we are not punished for it because God has forgiven us for them. Do you think then you could forgive someone for sticking their fingers up at you or for making gestures at you in the car, for cursing you and for calling all manner of divine damnation down on? Do you think we could forgive somebody for that if we have been forgiven for so, so much more than that? For murders, for adulteries, for, let's be honest, probably mass murders, the ones that we've carried out in our hearts. If you can forgive people, I mean, just let things go. That's a good indication that your sins have been forgiven because you know what it's like. And that's pretty much all I wanted to bring to your attention. Make your conversations with God real, but just realize who it is that you're speaking to. The thing that really got my attention was verse number 11, as you know, but I was going to make this a little bit of a post-Christmas message, because round about now people are coming out, well, a lot of people are coming out of their post-Christmas haze. Is that right? They're coming out of their Christmas haze. They're moving into their post-Christmas phase, maybe. And I'm sure there were a lot of young people, and perhaps even more mature people, that actually been looking forward to Christmas, thinking that this one day was going to solve a lot of problems, that it would just be a break from the general day-to-day humdrum lives with all their worries and cares, and that Christmas Day, and maybe even Boxing Day, was going to provide some sort of solution, even if it was only for those 2 days. Some people on Christmas Day will have opened the boxes, the presents that are sitting under the tree, and they will have got power tools that will grind, cut or drill maybe better than the last one. Phones that will make better calls. Can you make a better phone call? Or run an app with a few more frames per second. Computers, much the same, with a bigger CPU and more memory that will start in 20 seconds instead of 40 seconds. Clothes that will make you more trendy. Maybe even keep you warmer, although trendy clothes tend not to do that. And you will be more fashionably acceptable if you're wearing more up-to-date clothes. I don't know about you, but whenever I start to talk about clothes, I always remember driving, I think it was the bus to church with a bunch of folks in it, and there was a wee girl about this time of year, and it was 1 or 2 degrees outside, and she had a cut-off top. And she was wearing, I don't think she was wearing leggings, she was wearing tights, and you could see her undergarments. And she was literally walking along the road with no other items of clothing on her, dying for her fashion. I always remember that wee girl. And that's what a lot of people are doing, they're dying for their fashion. Or some kid is, if they have a really big box and they open it under the tree and it's a new bike, and there might happen to be more gears or drum brakes or disc brakes instead of your usual caliper brakes. It's got slicker tires and it'll go faster, or it's bigger because you've outgrown it. There'll be no end of toys to keep the kids entertained. And I was going to say to use their imaginations, but that's going to be a problem in years to come, because kids aren't going to have any. Instead of just flicking the switches on the games console. And speaking of games console, maybe there's a new games console that has, again, more frames per second, that has more realistic games, X plus MIPS of CPU, and now your graphics are in 4K instead of HD. Isn't it wonderful? Or is it 1080p? I can't remember. And almost a cardinal sin, there might be a new kitchen appliance for the mother or for the wife. Monica says she's happy with that, with new kitchen appliances. That'll mix the food better, nuke it a bit faster, and that's my knowledge of kitchen appliances. Slice vegetables a bit faster, or spiralize them, or something like that, or take the core out of it, just that little bit better, and of course that'll make the 8 hours of preparation for Christmas, that'll turn that to 7 hours and 45 minutes. And everybody will think that it's going to be wonderful. Maybe there's a bit of alcohol on the go, and Christmas will be spent in a haze, in a daze. I don't know, but even though we judge our growth by the number of rings we have, if you cut the top off our heads and you count the number of rings, you can tell how old we are. Or is that for trees? Or is that just for people that's as thick as two planks? I don't know. But we are like little children. Jesus never called us adults or mature. He always called, even to his disciples, who walked and talked with him for 3 years and saw the miracles that he did, and even did some of the miracles that he did, he always called them little children. We are expecting all of our wishes and desires for stuff just to be magically supplied to us. And like little children, we grow up and figure out that Christmas is so much more than Christmas Eve, Christmas Day and Boxing Day. There are the hunts around the house for the presents that you now realise that mummy and daddy buy, and then opening them very carefully and playing with them and then putting them back in the boxes again. The run-up to Christmas was quite interesting in our house too. But you know what? Big people, adults, we're pretty much the same. And we still like to think that, and still behave like this, this one day, and still think there's a bit of us in there that still thinks that this is going to make all the difference. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't have a bag of mints down here, and I'm not sucking on them going, bah humbug, and why have Christmas? I'm all for enjoying Christmas. But like this verse of scripture says, our lives are more than about just this one day. We have another 364 and a quarter days in every year to live. There is a day that will make all the difference in the world, and without being too cliched, we're talking about getting saved. But even that is just the start of a Christian life. The day that you turn up at the foot of the cross is the beginning of the rest of your life. And Lord willing, I know there's going to be at least 1,007 years before time is no more and everything is wrapped up and there's a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for her groom. But in our lives can be over so quickly. As I found out about this time last year, things are not always guaranteed. And the days, I pray, are many between you accepting Christ and meeting him face to face. So, but what are we going to do with those days? Does anyone here ever open a book anymore? Like a new book. And the first thing I always do, it doesn't matter what's in the title of the book, is smell the new newsprint. And it's got that new book smell, or you step into a new car and it's got that new car smell. So part of us likes that. Or you step into a new house and it's got that new paint smell. There's a part of us looks for that. There's a part of us really enjoy. I know Brother Stan enjoys it. He enjoys it so much, he sent his eldest son from Bangor to Derry to pick up those pocket knives that he was going to die if they. We love that new feeling, It's novelty. It lifts us, it gives us a bit of a kick. But the thing about it is the world keeps turning. The sun will rise and set the same tomorrow as it did today, again and again and again and again. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do with the time that God has given us? The Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. And we would agree with that. I would agree with that. I'm a different man to what I was 34 years ago. I hated God. I got annoyed at people singing Christmas carols in the shopping centres. I was that convicted of my sin. The Bible says old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And I want to give you a few examples of that. It's not that he gives you a new car and a new house and a new body, although those things are common. Not the new car, but a new ways of getting about. It's not that he gives us a new location on the earth. He gives us a new way of looking at things, a new way of perceiving things. He gives us an eternal life, and most souls think that this, whenever you're done with this one, you're done, and tend to live it at 100 miles an hour to their own detriment. But as a Christian, your life consists of more than just now. We live for eternity. You have already started your everlasting life with Jesus Christ. You are living a new and a different life. Everybody has a hell to be gained, or a hell to be avoided. But you, Christian, are living a new life with Jesus Christ. And every single thing that you have, if you let God put his finger upon it or his hand upon it, you will see new things. Now I know at the moment, unless you've been living under a rock, or you were just thawed out from a 2-year freeze, so many turkeys, you'll know there is a viral epidemic going on around the world, and many people are running and hiding and trembling with fear as these things happen. But the Christian knows these things have been coming for generations, and whilst it doesn't make you dance with joy, we can look up and see Jesus Christ in all of this, and we can depend upon him. We are supposed to be ready. How many times did the Lord speak to his disciples and say, look, I have told you these things beforehand so that you can be ready? One that's very close to my own heart is my old pocket knife. One that I got about 20 years ago, and it's had the life beat out of it, and the plastic, the rubber insets that are supposed to make it not slip out of your hand, they're practically worn away. And I love that old pocket knife, even though I'm a bit like Brother Stan. Get me a pen, a flashlight, or a pocket knife, and you'll not go far wrong. If you're ever looking for gifts, I'm not looking for gifts, but I'm just saying. But I love that. And I take that out and I use that often. It's the worst pocket knife I have, condition-wise, but I like using it. And more so whenever I see that thing is still going, like so many other things God has blessed, the pocket knife to keep going, the shoes to keep going, the clothes to keep going. But like the children of Israel, that the Lord keeps provision them. And that applies to many things. Like an old kitchen knife, that's maybe, the handle is maybe cracked and scuffed with many years of usage, but run it through the sharpener and God has blessed you again with a sharp kitchen knife. Or last year's phone. Oh goodness, I'm using a phone that is a third away into its battery life. But you know what? It still works and it still makes and receives phone calls. And it still plays music and games, and you can read the news and watch videos and listen to music, if I haven't said that already. And there might be a few scratches on it, but you know what? It still works. It still works. And it can still do the job that it was bought to do, but even better. You can use it to talk to people about the Lord. You can use it to type messages to people about the Lord. The Lord can bless the use of that phone. Going back to computers, I remember myself that the whole thrust of having a computer was having the fastest computer that you could lay your hands on. And the thing that really tickled me was whenever I started using the computer to do church services and to burn DVDs for the church and to update the website and do all of this stuff for God, even though those computers are maybe 5 and sometimes 10 years out of date, and they are doing an amazing job for God. And I get a kick out of that. Or cutting the grass with Frankenstein's mower, which is what I call my mower. It's an old mower with a rotted hull. And it looks like Frankenstein's mower with bits of sheet steel riveted onto it and silicone stopping them from vibrating and falling apart, and maybe that motor kicking them out and cutting a foot off of me. But I get a kick out of it still working. And I can cut the grass here and up until last year cut the grass in other people's houses too. I can still use that to do the Lord's work. Last year's clothes might be a little worn or might get getting a bit dirty and putting you off, but you know what? A quick run through the washing machine and an iron or a press. That's how you do it, isn't it, Mrs. Bradford? Yeah. And they're like brand new again. Here I am. I can't recall when I bought clothes last, because Monica contributes a lot to that. But you can still get by without the latest fashions from the front of Vogue or whatever other woman's magazine or men's magazine is out there. Bring your glory to God. The shoes might be scuffed and a bit worn, but a lick of polish, and they're ready to go. But even better than having new shoes, they're broken in. They're comfortable. And you can serve the Lord a lot more whenever you're not worrying about the pain in your toes or your feet from your shoes crimping. Relationships that were drying up, we weren't, I can't be bothered. All of a sudden, people are not just things that you can use and abuse and then dispose of. They're living souls, just like you, that someone thought was important enough to share the gospel with, and Jesus thought was important enough to give his life on the cross for. And these feelings, if you like, this new car, new computer, new book smell that we get off things that elicits this joy in us, can have that any time of the year. Just remember who it is we are, who it is that we serve, and what our purpose is here in this life. All these things we can take joy from. All the things that God allows us to have and still use. But remember, it's not because we have this stuff, it's because our names are written in heaven that we should take joy. We should be not enjoying life, but joyful as we go through life. And then you can enjoy life. Joyful because our names are written in heaven, because Jesus gave his life on the cross, because our Father will listen to everything that we talk about, even if it's meaningless nonsense. Just to have just to be in his presence. Just to spend time with him. Just to know that someday you're going to walk the streets of gold in a new and a glorified body, which will always have that new and glorified smell. Friends, even chores, and they're called chores for a reason. And if you say something is a chore, it doesn't normally mean it's a good thing. You're saying it's hard work, it's uninspiring, it pulls you down. Even chores you can enjoy. And I know some people are like, that's not right. But I have seen me come to the church many's a time, although not many's a time over the past year. I want to thank my wife for that and the others that have pitched in. I have seen me come into the church with the thought, I have an hour of cleaning toilets, wiping worktops and hoovering floors ahead of me. And that's what the old man kicks up in my face and says, you're 55 years old and you're still hoovering floors, cleaning toilets and wiping worktops. But you know what? I'm only a few minutes in to cleaning in God's house whenever I start to enjoy it, because I'm serving the King of Kings. Thank you, Christy. All things are become new. All things can be enjoyed. All things can be savoured and learned from and grown from whenever you have Christ as your Saviour, but also when you walk with him and when you talk with him. We're here to learn, and we've got our Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth, so we should learn from. I know it doesn't seem like it's easy or straightforward. How can I start living a life like that? Well, first of all, you have to take your eyes off some of the features in your life right now. Oh, I have to get down to the pub for my friends. I have to have a drink, otherwise my evening will be a wipeout or a disaster. Or I need 4 hours of TV before my mind can settle itself to rest. You have to take your eyes off of the world and fix them on the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him a space. And you will find that things become enjoyable. Do you ever feel guilty about doing something that you know maybe you shouldn't have done, or you did it before you did something for the Lord? I used to. Whenever I watched Star Trek, I would be sitting down with a cup of tea and a bit of toast, and I would have that beat into my mouth and crumbs everywhere, and I'd be wiping the tea off my face as I was going out the door at 10 to 7 to try and get down here and fellowship with people. More often than not, the first song had started and I sloped in at the back just about where Christy and Taylor are, hoping that nobody saw me, and just a mad dash. And I didn't enjoy the start of the church service. In fact, many's the time I didn't even want to be there. But by the time a couple of the songs had been sung and there was a Bible reading, I'd settled. At the end of it all, the Lord said, "Mark, you've 2 VCRs under your TV. They're connected to your hi-fi for your listening and viewing pleasure. Why don't you just record Star Trek and get down to church a half hour earlier and enjoy the fellowship and enjoy the songs and not be in a rush and have your mind ready to think upon me?" And I did that. And I enjoyed the whole church service. And I even enjoyed the Star Trek afterwards. Even though it's a pile of bunker, I enjoyed it. Because I wasn't under pressure and I put God first. And that's how you enjoy life, friends. You put God first. Every day. When you put him first, everything will find its place. Everything will work out for the best when you put God first every day. A lot of people will be thinking, "Bob, we put God first on Christmas Day. It's all about Jesus being born." All evidence to the contrary. It's almost nothing about Jesus being born. It's just about the Smiths and Currys and B&M Bargains and all these other places robbing people blind for as much money as they can. Give God a wee bit of that space. Let him in first. Open the door for him and invite him in. Let him go first. You will enjoy life so much better. You will have a joy that the world can't give you. And things maybe that you did because you like to do, but maybe you ought to have been reading your Bible, and then you feel you don't get the enjoyment out of it, that will disappear. In fact, you might even find that some of the things you used to like doing, you don't like doing anymore because you spend the time with Jesus, or you don't have the time to do anymore. You will not lose out. Jesus promised. And he didn't just promise the whole world. He promises you and me that anything in this world at all that you have to give up or that is taken from you because you follow Jesus or you love Jesus, he has something that's 100 times better. And that's every day. Every day. And it'll never get old, cold or tired. And like you, in eternity, it'll never have an ache or a pain or a tear ever again. When you let God in first every day. Thank you. We're going to stop there. Thank you for your good time and attention. If you want to take out the big books, and we'll sing a Christmassy one by way of closing. Hymn number 424. 424, "O come all ye faithful." And if you're able, you can stand as we sing. word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the morning, for this couple of hours that we've laid aside for you. Please bless them to our betterment, to our conviction, to our straightening out, to our comforting, to our strengthening, Lord, to our joy. Just thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us and given to us, and pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we go our separate ways. Please be with those that couldn't be with us. Think especially on Esther, Pat, Steve, Maslam, and Georgina. For all those that have been and gone, that have slipped and slid, Lord, please, I pray you restore this Christmas. Thank you for loving us and watching over us and for all the great things that you've done for us. Lord, for the amazing things that are happening in the world and for being there even now. We ask these things, Lord, our private prayer requests, and for absent friends and family. We ask them all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We are dismissed, folks. God bless you.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Okay.